Numbers 33, and we'll begin at verse 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to the journeys by the commandment of the Lord. These are their journeys according to their goings out. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with an high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. And the children of Israel removed from Ramses and pitched in Succoth. And they departed from Succoth and pitched in Etham, which is in the edges or the edge of the wilderness. And they removed from Etham and turned again unto Pihahiroth, which is before Baal-zephon, and they pitched before Migdal. They departed from before Pihahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness and went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham and pitched in Marah. And they removed from Marah and came unto Elam. And in Elam were 12 fountains of water, and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. And they removed from Elam and encamped by the Red Sea. And they removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. And they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Dophka. And they departed from Dophka and encamped in Alush. And they removed from Alush and encamped in Rephidim, where was no water for the people to drink. They departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai. They removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched in Kibroth Hattaavah. They departed from Kibroth Hattaavah and encamped in Hazeroth. That's as far as I'm going to read for sake of reading. If you read this chapter, they go from one pitching and one camp to the next, following the Lord's direction. The Bible says that this was Moses in verse 2, wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. Not only did God command him to write them, God commanded them where to go. God was leading the life of the children of Israel. What I want to talk about this morning is coming to the place where was no water for the people to drink. No water for the people to drink. I thought about this story as God began to weigh on my mind, just that one verse. And I thought how desperate that they must have been to have come in a place that they know and believe that God had brought them to. And there was no water for the people to drink. And how discouraging that some of them got. But some, I don't know that Moses got discouraged at this time, at this point, in this place. And the Lord spoke to me and begin to show me a few things about those that are strong and those that are weaker in the faith. You have those like Moses and Aaron that came to this place, and they knew whether or not there was water there or not, they were under the Lord's hand. And they were going to follow the Lord regardless of where the Lord led them. And they were going to trust the Lord with all of their life and everything. God had already, up to this point, had supplied everything they needed. But there are those that are weaker that serve the Lord upon condition. And because there was a place where no water was, they got discouraged. They got disheartened. They even got angry. They were not only angry with Moses, they were angry with the Lord. I have seen people become bitter with God after asking God to give them something, answer some prayer, and then it not happen, and then they become bitter. And my thought is, why would God do something for someone like that anyway? Why would God do that for me if when I don't get my way, I become angry with God? And I say, I'm going to quit serving God. I'm going to quit seeking God. I'm going to quit walking with Him or looking to Him. I'm upset with Him because He didn't do something for me. But then if the Lord turned around and did that thing, suddenly my whole spiritual life would change. And I'd begin to thank Him evidently and begin to say how good that the Lord is for supplying my need, answering my prayer. Lord, have mercy. We must be stronger in our relationship and our commitment to the Lord than to let the things that happen in our life control our spiritual temperature toward God. I'll serve you, God, as long as you're doing for me. And if you're not, I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get upset. Why would God ever do anything for anybody like that? As a matter of fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says, why would God pretty much, I think it's in James, let not that man think that he'll receive anything. Somebody that cannot trust God even when they don't have. Now we're in a place without water. What are we going to do? We're looking at the water that's not there rather than the one who supplies water. Amen. Amen. If you look back in the Bible, this reference is back over there in Exodus chapter number 17, where the Bible said the people thirsted there for water in verse 3 of chapter 17 of the book of Exodus. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is that which thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children, our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, the supplier of water. You see, they're getting angry with Moses and blaming Moses and coming to Moses. Moses can't give you water. Listen, the best that I can do is just lead us along the way as God would have it so. If you get any water, you're going to have to get it from the Lord. Amen. He is the one that supplies us with the water. If you're thirsty today, you need to talk to the Lord about that. And I'm thirsty today, by the way. Aren't you? Are you thirsty for the Lord? Are you weary in the journey? Are you tired of going from one day to the next, one encampment to the next?
I mean, has it been hot enough for you? Has it been dry enough for you? Or maybe are you getting weary? Well, everybody gets weary, but what are you going to do? How are you going to look at this thing? How are you going to enter this week? Are you going to enter it trusting the Lord for water, or are you going to enter it saying, I ain't got no water and I'm upset about it, and I'll blame something else or someone else about why that I do not have water? I mean, look, God had reminded them when he wrote this down. I mean, God not only told Moses to write their goings out and their comings in, that wasn't to remind God about the journey. That was to remind Moses and the children of Israel about the journey. Don't forget the beginning of the journey. Don't forget the beginning of the journey. When God brought them out of Egypt.
Amen.
When the Bible said that God brought them out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians, that the Egyptians had to bury their firstborn. Why? Because they was holding the children of Israel back. That the Lord had smitten among them and upon their gods. That God had executed judgment upon the false gods of the world, of the Egyptians. That God showed himself to Israel, not only to Israel, but to also Egypt, that he is the God that can deliver. Amen, that he's a God that can take them from a place where the Nile River flows into a barren land and still give them the water they need.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'd say the water that come out of the rock in Horeb that we're fixing to get to was probably fresher than all the muddy, bloody water that was left in Egypt. Amen. So God reminds them of the beginning of the journey. I saved you. I saved you. God wants us to remember our salvation and never forget our salvation. If we ever get away from the remembrance of what God has done for us right from the beginning, then we begin to lose sight of all that he is and all that he can do. Because it seems to me, it looks to me very evident that everything God did for them in the beginning, he did for them throughout their life. God put on a great show, didn't he, in the beginning, if you want to put it that way. I said God showed them a strong hand in the beginning. I know it seems like to me, Brother Rodney, that God did things for me when I first got saved. That was miraculous. The way God talked to me, spoke to me, dealt with me, to show me just how good and how big he is. And I needed it back then. Why? Because I, so little in faith, just knew coming to the Lord. You too. Just knew coming to the Lord. Hey, that's enough, though, to keep us on the journey. Regardless of where we go and where we encamp, we know that that same God that started us is keeping us along the way. And that same God that started us and that is keeping us along the way will bring you and I into Canaan land just like he said he would. Amen. Bless his name. I mean, look, they had just come from a place where there were 12 fountains of water,
70 palm trees. And they pitched there. Whoa, what a great place. What an oasis along the way. God ever give you one of them? An oasis, I mean, just like revival in the desert, amen. Can God prepare for us a table in the wilderness? You better believe it, brother. Water, 12 fountains, palm trees to shade in. Amen. God can provide a paradise in the wilderness. Amen. Thank the Lord. And they had just left. They went to the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of sin. Then they went into Dophka, and then to Elush. They came to Rephidim, where no water. No water for the people to drink. Did we forget about the oasis back there, just a little ways? Is the same God that provided the oasis not the same God that's got us in a place where there's no water? God's not going to kill us with no water. He is the water. He is the water. He's the source of the water. Amen? He is that rock in Horeb. If you'll look over there in the book of Exodus 17, when Moses began to cry after the people thirsted, he cried unto the Lord saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. I'll be standing there. I'll be standing there." Have you ever been in a place and God say, "If you'll get here, I'll be waiting for you"? Amen? Tell you right where to go. I'm glad he can tell us right where to go. Yeah. He can tell us exactly what to do and right where to go to know that when we get there, God will be standing there. Yeah. If Moses, listen, he could have done like he'd done when he, remember God told him, smite the rock. He smote it. He obeyed the Lord. The next time he come, God said, "Speak to the rock." And Moses is upset and smote it again instead of speaking to it. He could have done that. God could have said, "Go over there. I'll be standing at the rock in Horeb." Moses could have said, "My journeys are," as a shepherd boy, remind me, "there's nothing out there. Don't you know Moses had been all over this place for 40 years before he came and got the children of Israel?" Sure, he did. He was a shepherd to his father-in-law. He got married and had a family. Forgot all about Egypt. Until God spoke to him out of the bush. Until God took him up on the Mount Sinai. Until God showed him that place wasn't so barren as he thought. Amen. It may be that God wants to get us in a thirsty place where we can thirst for him. Where that's all we're concerned about is how dry that it is, and knowing God is the only one that can take care of us now. God is the one that can bring the water. God's the one that can be burning in the bush. God is the one that in the middle of nowhere, he can stand on the mountain and bring us up. Amen. God Almighty.
the God of the mountain. If he's the God of the mountain, he's the God of the desert. Amen. Amen. He's the God of it all. Amen. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you something. The wet ain't no different than the dry with God. Are you listening to me? Amen. I mean, Jesus, even when he lived here, the dry land, it was no different to him than walking on the water. The wet and the dry is all the same to him. He goes where he wants to go. He does what he wants to do. He told us to be thirsty. He told us to get thirsty. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you really thirsty? I mean, if you'll listen, if you'll get really thirsty, good and thirsty, it just may be that God will be waiting on you this week to get to Horeb. Amen? I mean, I'm looking. I'm hoping. I'm praying. That's right where I am. Amen? I'm hoping that this is, listen, but even if I've got five more stops to make before I get just right where I need to get. I mean, they went from one encampment to the next, stopping and going, stopping and going, stopping and going, stopping and going, finally got to the place where it was the worst place they could be in. What they thought. It was the very best place spiritually that they could be in. Because absolutely, you know this truth. Getting into a place where you know it absolutely had to be God that did it.
Amen.
You can't figure it out any other way. Then God passed my way. God gave me water. God provided what I needed to quench my thirst. Now listen, it didn't mean that this spot was going to be just all easy. It was right there that they went from there to face Amalek. You see, when God does do something miraculous for us, it's right then that you and I ought to have the strength that we need to slay Amalek. And God just did something great for me. Why would I buddy up with my flesh? Why would I yield to him when I've got a God that provided my needs so greatly? God always provides our need greatly. He provided their need miraculously, time after time after time. Listen, the things God does for us, it's no small matter, church. They're great and wonderful, mighty things that God's doing for us. Are we unthankful? Have we become unthankful? Am I so unthankful that I can't even see how good God is to me day by day? I assure you, I'm not providing my own need. Without God, I wouldn't be able to roll out of the bed in the morning. I couldn't stand on my feet without him. You couldn't either. And we know these things. But there they are, journeying, departing. Could you imagine having to depart a place like this? Listen, God doesn't want us staying in the same spot.
what God did for me back in 1991, 92, in that revival, I love talking about it because it's just, I mean, it's just so wonderful. I can't live there. We've got places to go, things to do. We've got a Canaan land waiting for us. Amen? And in between here and there, a path that God will lead us on. Dry or not. Water or not, one place to the next. God was always showing them something, teaching them something. And the whole time, they lived by faith. Had to. God brought quail, fed it to them. God brought manna, fed it to them. God supplied water, gave it to them. God was a shade in the heat of the day, covered them with it. In the cold of the night, God was a fire in the sky, warming their bones. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. With a God like that, the only reason I need a campfire is just to cook what I've got. Amen? I don't need it to heat myself. Amen? I'm getting warm from Him. Amen. I'm getting shaded from Him. Amen. Why do I need anything on my own? Why would I even need a tent? Amen. To pop up, to get out of the heat. He's the one that brings me out of the heat. He brings you out of the heat, out of the cold, place to place, with water. Are you listening to me? God is the great supplier. He's Jehovah Nissi. Thank God. Are you in a place where there's no water for the people to drink? I thought of how bad that had to have seemed. But these terrible situations are a great opportunity for God to do something great. Amen. I've seen some pretty bad situations since God saved me. Some of them you can't understand, but listen, God always, somehow, some way, winds up doing something great for the people that go through them. I'm not talking about the people that go through them whining and cussing and mad and quit. Them that go through like Moses. Lord, I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to keep serving you. This is no place to quit. A hard place, a dry place, is no place to get out of the company. You need to keep marching with the company. Because we are under His providence. Just knowing you're under His providential hand, that should be worthy enough of our faith. I was talking to somebody the other day, a preacher the other day, and I said, you know, one of the questions, you know, that I have a lot of times about Job is he couldn't see God anywhere. But he said, I know He sees me. He knoweth the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. As long as I know I'm under His providence, I'm under His care. I'm His. You're His. If you're saved, you're His, which means you are His responsibility. This is my responsibility right here.
Got your responsibility. God's got His responsibility. God ain't slack, as some men count slackness.
He is long suffering to us. Listen, God is not slack at all. They may have thought they were lacking, but God's not lacking God's not slack. No, he's not. You come to a place where no water for the people to drink. Moses began to cry unto him. Listen, this was enough. It wasn't long after that journey. I'm not sure exactly how long, but it was enough that Aaron, this journey, it killed him. And the journey, it was hard. It was hard. But God was going to bring a people through there. And it wasn't the people that was murmuring all the time. It was people that learned to live under the providential hand of God. Oh yeah, they had problems. I mean, we could go right on and keep preaching. Once they got into Canaan land. Yeah, they did. Why they did is beyond me. They were there. They were there. Why that they would doubt God. All they ever knew, listen to this, and I'm about done. All they ever knew was they were blessed by the hand of another. Nothing they did, they were born into it. Amen? You get a hold of that. They were blessed by the hand of another. They weren't blessed by their hand. Nothing they did. Everything that they, even when they got into Canaan land, it was the promise that God promised them. I'm going to give you a house that you don't have to build. Vineyards you don't have to plant. Amen. If he can get water out of a rock, do you not think he could make vineyards be waiting for him? Houses already built. You say, yeah, he did that through them Canaanites that took over the land while they were prisoner down there. That's exactly right. God used them to build something free for them.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. However God chooses to do it. But what they knew is when they got there, they had their choice of house. Choice of land. After God divided it to them. God taking care. We're going to be in a place some glad morning when this life is over. There are no dry places where there's no water for the people. Amen. We may be going through a dry time right now. Listen, you trust the Lord. Look, ask Him. Look to Him. Maybe God will wait for you on that rock. I want Him to wait for me, don't you? Lord, I'll meet you there. We just meet God where He asks us to be. Do you want to get there? I want to get there. Whatever it is that God asks out of me, to where I can drink water that come from His hand, I want to do it. You have to be willing to make the journey. You have to be willing to make the journey. We can't just sit down where we are. We have to be willing to make the journey. Are you willing to make the journey? I want you to stand. Just a thought.